So we shall commence the worship of God this morning by singing from Psalm 124. 124, we're singing the first version. Have not the Lord been on our side when Israel may say, have not the Lord been on our side when men rose us to slay? They had us swallowed quick when as their wrath against us was flame. Waters have covered us, our soul has sunk beneath the sea. Let's sing this psalm, the whole of this psalm, to God's praise.
Might be made worthy in the Lord Jesus Christ.
We thank you, Lord, that though we are tainted and indeed so full of sin that, Lord, we hardly reflect your image, yet, Lord, you see your people as righteous, as perfect in Christ because of Christ's righteousness. Indeed, Lord, we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ when we trust in him. And Lord, we pray that today we will get a great sense of your righteousness in this place, that we would be aware that we are in the presence of a holy and a righteous God, one who calls us to holiness. We pray, Lord, that you would bless your church today throughout the world, that, Lord, your church would be seen as a place holy, set apart. Your people would be seen as different and walking in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ and not in the ways of the world. We pray, Lord God, that you would bless the spreading of your gospel. And we pray, Father, that you would build up your people. We pray, Lord, for your blessing upon your church, wherever it is struggling and suffering at these times. We remember again Syria and Iraq, where there is so much conflict. And yet we thank you that even there, Lord God, you are at work. We thank you, Father, that you are speaking to men and women of their eternal souls. You are showing men and women the emptiness of a false religion that does not answer the very basic needs of men to be washed clean and to be made holy. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to turn many to Christ in that part of the world. Lord God, we pray for your blessing upon your gospel, wherever it is spoken today. And we pray, Lord, for your blessing upon those who rule over us in our country, that, Lord, you might speak to them of their eternal souls, that you'll give them a concern for where they will be in eternity and not where they will get to in this world. For, Lord, the things and the power of this world just simply pass away. But we thank you, Lord, that your kingdom and your word stand forever. Turn our nation back to you again, we ask, and may we once again be known as people who love your truth, who love your word, and who live by it. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, boys and girls, I'd like to come down to the front, and Dr. Hayes is going to speak to you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Let me just say that psalm we sang together. Old enough to remember the war, and I remember when the war ended in Glasgow, one of the Glasgow newspapers, now defunct Glasgow Bulletin, printed on its front page Psalm 124, "Now Israel may say that truly, if that the Lord had not been my lampstand, then cruel men against us curiously had lifted up there to make of us their prey." Glasgow newspaper, front page, acknowledge God. Now, turn to the kids. There's an awful lot of you. I think I'll bring down a van next Sunday and we'll take you to Bowie Saint. The church there. We don't have many children in the Bowie church. But I've got here something I carry in my pocket. Oh, what a thing. Some of you should know what they were. But this is the one thing I need most. Now, girls, can you tell me what it is? What do you think it is? Any of you girls know? Come on. Oops. Well, right, boys, you tell me. Sorry to catch my but it's busy. Now, I'm going to show you this kind of special screwdriver because that's the end you put the screw into and that's the end you turn. But we've got something special. Do you want to hold it for a minute? Hold it that end. Now, touch the end of the rubber. Hold it out. Right, so hold it.
Judas.
It's a testing screwdriver. And so he put that end on one part of the circuit and touched the other end. The light goes on, right? Does it? Light goes on like that. So, do you want to test it? Hold one end and then touch it. See if the light goes on. There you are. Yeah, there it is. Now I'll show you something special. If you three hold hands with each other, that's it. You hold my hand here. Now, if I hold that bit and you touch the end, the light goes on. See that? Take your hand off, because I think it's right. Try to get on this leg. You hold hands, you can get on the end. You all hold hands.
What are we?
Reach you over there. Right. All hands. All hands. You hold hands there. That's it. All hands. Yes. Right. You hold my hands. Now. Now, you let go of it. The light goes out. So this is a testing screwdriver, and it goes right through you, doesn't it? Do you want to come in as well? See how many go through it. Right, come on. Come forward. We'll be trying 10. How many? Okay. How many have we got now? We don't want to go through 10. How many have we got now? 9, 1 more, right? Now, you all hold hands in one circle. Round in a circle. No, not me. No, hold hands in place. You two let go. That's it. We're all holding hands. Right. Now, if I hold there, or four times you hold at the end, and then if I hold your hand, and then I touch it, tell me if it goes on.
Yeah.
Now that means it must be going right round all of you. Let's try it ourselves. Yes, there you are. That's it. Now, that shows me that electricity can run around. If there's a fault, if you open your hands over there, the light goes out. And I was thinking that that's just the way the Lord works with His people. Do you know, there's a lovely verse that says, "Behold how they love one another." Now, there are 10 people here. Supposing one of you doesn't love other people, it's as if you're stopping the Lord. Whereas if we all love the Lord Jesus Christ, then we all share in His Holy Spirit. And people can see that. People know when we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. And people know when there's maybe one person not following the Lord Jesus Christ. Will we try it once more? Right, you try. You hold one end, and you hold the other end of it. And then we all hold hands again. Ready. Are we all holding hands? Is it lit? Let go and see. Take your hand off and see it. Is it right? Touch again.
Yeah.
There we are. So that showed me that you're all alive. That's what we But I want to remember that we're very good in our church, not just you, it's everybody. And in this church, grown-ups as well, we depend on the love of God working in our midst. We need to know that we're all loving the Lord Jesus, and He is loving through us. how the New, in the Old and the New Testament said, "Behold, how they love one another." It was a new thing to them that as people trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we showed His love, and everybody saw it. My goodness, look how much we love one another. So when you remember when you come to church, you've got to be especially kind to people, especially if you think people are being bullied at school. Sometimes people get bullied. But you try everything to help. Sometimes it's quite difficult. But like this, God's Holy Spirit will work through us. And then we will say, "Behold, how He loves people. How He loves people." Because God's Holy Spirit is in us through Jesus. Okay.
And next Psalm 145. Psalm 145, and we shall read the whole psalm. A psalm of praise of David. "I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men might know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving towards all He has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and loving towards all He has made. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever. Amen." We're now going to sing two verses from Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. We'll sing these verses in Gaelic. I'll read them again here. "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made."
And here near the grass working, it's long and the whole country.
Oh. Já mi to vám věděl pomovedím, že hají máhka nestrdává. Někdy jde ty věmáhka, že ty gíhem, že ty dvě věrbíhá, že to vám ukrajinu, že jim hrůjde a dvěm hovo. Kvánčím z těžky, že mě to chvíště, pro ty dvě hovo někdecha. Pro věd věmá pomovedí, že každý vypadá, že štáhtí, Amen.
Well, I'm so thrilled to be here amongst you, but having to confess, I stand up loudly. So, I'll speak to you of what I know about my Lord Jesus Christ, because we're worshipping Him together. And the first thing is to say that the Son has come to my notice because as I read through the Bible, and I am reading through it, I've come to Psalm 145 that I've drawn. But in Psalm 145 we have these wonderful words that we read as our text through. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. I've memorized very many lots of scripture, but that one is easy because we sang it. And I think I've taught it to my children, but I'd love to teach it to you all, but I won't. The Lord is gracious. Now these words, to me in music, I sing when I'm down, disheartened, or puzzled, because to me they are a refreshing anchor to me. Now it seems as if man has built within him a desire to have a God. And over generations, of different cultures here and there, men have devised or accepted or imagined gods. And so, in fact, was the God of Israel when, under Moses and under persecution of Pharaoh, they turned to God and God revealed Himself to them as their God, chosen by Him. Go before Pharaoh, he said to Moses, and I will reveal my glory. And so Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world in those days, had to yield to the miraculous power that came through Moses. And Pharaoh, in the end, had to yield and let my people go. And so God was revealing Himself as a God of might. But more than that, He was revealing Himself as the only God. And more mysterious than that, the chosen God of the people of Israel. Now at first, they believed that He was just their God. The surrounding nations had gods, gods of Moab and Edom, the gods they worshipped, were sometimes embodied by the Pharaohs. God was revealing Himself to His people, firstly, as their God. And then amazingly, they gradually realized He was the universal, all-powerful God, and that they were His chosen people. That, of course, happens through the revelation given in their experience of His deliverance and the wanderings in the wilderness, and during these 40 years under Moses, they became welded into a nation, more than that, a nation that God had chosen. Now, how then did other people develop their notions of God? Well, largely it's because of imagination, storytelling, the gods of Baal,
he all had stories about things he had done. And the stories of the various nations, as I mentioned, in Edom, and the countries that they met had all got their gods and lined up against the God of Israel. And the God of Jacob, where the Ark of the Covenant was put in the temple of Dagon, and in the morning he was found smashed on the floor because the true God was revealed himself. Now, as God revealed himself, or thought he did, to these various people, they developed ideas of what that God was like. They had different types of God. Gods who did very bizarre things sometimes. But people who'd been with their gods gradually came quite like them. And I feel that that's happened today as well. The Muslim religion is quite a high-minded and moral one in many ways. But there are those today who claim that if they go and worship with their God and commune with him, they come out commissioned to kill, maim, and rob. What kind of God have they been worshipping? What kind of God has been telling them that the more people have been killed, the greater the glory will be to their God? It is said, in fact, even in the Quran, those who die as martyrs for him, young men, will be received in heaven with 70 virgins. That's their reward. And you think, hold on a minute. What kind of God? This. Now, we are programmed nowadays to defer to other people's religions, to their beliefs, and therefore we'd be very cautious about criticizing any other religion's gods, and probably quite rightly so. It's not good to go public in these things. But what kind of God? I was in Thailand, a Buddhist country, of course, we see massive statues of the Buddha. Now, I am going to be critical here because I'm a Christian, I can't help this, but Psalm 135, Isaiah chapter 46, these are chapters of the Bible that point out that the statues of stone, iron, gold, made by men, mouths that they can't speak. They put them where you put them, and they can only move if you lift them. And so in these religions, it's not attacking your God alone, it's pointing out how useless it is. Isaiah cries out, what can you do when you're worshipping inanimate objects? What kind of person comes from communion with idols of stone? Now, we have here in the text we have this morning, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. This psalmist has been with God. From the very beginning of the psalm, when he's praising God, he has been with God. And he is displaying the kind of God he's been with. Now it's possible, maybe, that if this man had been born in Muslim times, and Muslims came along approximately 1,600 years after the time of the Psalms, that he could have ended up coming from the kind of God who wanted him to go and massacre hundreds and hundreds of non-Jews. But he didn't. And the wonder is that this book of ours that we read here, the Bible, the book of Psalms in particular, has been bequeathed to us. It's been given to us. by the Jews. It's a Jewish book. And it's strange that in the title it says, a Tehillim of David. And Tehillim is a word meaning praise. And a particular form of this verse, this verb is praise, has become the title for the book of Psalms. So right at the front where it says, a Tehillim of David, it came by the title and put it across the whole book of Psalms. This is the leading psalm in many senses of the Bible. And it's come from somebody who has been with God. Many religions, sometimes we ourselves are guilty of this, feel that religion is a matter of describing, defining. My God is this. You must sign that. You must agree to that. And of course, we do wish to define our belief. But what's far more important is that having found the truth, we stick with it. We go to it. We draw strength from it. And so when I was a boy, Scripture Union, singing these verses, I didn't know for a second that I'd be in this wild island of Harris at the age of 86, speaking on these words, because everything has changed. Second, the God we're speaking of and worshiping, that God has not changed. I am here to demonstrate, to witness, gladly say that my God is full of compassion and slow to anger. And you can see that too. If you have experienced God, you can say these words as your own. God is slow to anger and of great mercy. Now that I find doesn't exist in other religions. Mercy. God holding out his love to us. God redeeming us from sin. God enfolding you and me in his love, his mercy and compassion fail not. What kind of God are we talking about here? We're not talking about a God who says, go and blow up 24 people. We're speaking of a God who says, go into the world and love all mankind. I do tend to hear sometimes in the morning, if I'm not sleeping well, a program on BBC Radio 4 called Prayer for the Day. Maybe you hear it too. And last week, quite often, it was a lady called Elaine Starkey. And she's a professor in Oxford. And when it came to Tuesday, last week, it was the 500th anniversary of Luther nailing his 95 theses to the door of a church in Wittenberg. And she, knowing that, glowed. She overflowed with praise, obviously knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a day when perhaps you could have made civil war between Catholics and Protestants. You could have pointed out all the evils of one and the mistakes of the other. But she didn't. She praised the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that time, in fact, it was 5:45 in the morning, there was praise and joy because she herself had come from communion with a God who was gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And as I read these words, the music is in my mind as well. And I rejoice. rejoice at the goodness of God. He is good. Because I grew up in an average Church of Scotland with a nominal Christian home, but into it, back there, I have to say it's the 1930s, God was using in my hometown of Paisley one or two good churches and the Scripture Union and Crusaders. Both these agencies have huge influence on my life because they taught me this course for a start and many, many others. What I'm getting at is this. Faith in God means faith in our God. Faith in our God changes us. Faith in other gods changes them. I'm not sure it changes them for good. In fact, it's the opposite. But the nearer you are to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the nearer you are to Him, the more you begin to use these words as your own. I know that God is compassionate because He's been compassionate to me. He's slow to anger because He's forgiven me so much that I've done. And so the word of God becomes my word too. And one of the joys I have is the shortest book in the Bible is the third book of John. And in it, John says, I thank God when I hear that my children follow Christ. So to me, as I see the scriptures more and more clearly, that remains my pride and joy that God, dear Lord, show yourself to my children, to those who follow me, to those of you here this morning, because it's a privilege, and not all of you will agree, it's a privilege to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. And for me to be here this morning and tell you, I don't think you need many people to come from the mainland to come to the Isle of Harris to speak of Christ, because here His name has been praised and worshipped for generations. And I feel certain here this morning it's the same thing. You are here and you can see these words. You have this testimony yourself and your own experience. The Lord is gracious, isn't He? Yes, He is. Full of compassion. Yes, He is. Do you not feel His warmth when you sit with the Bible, when you have a quiet time of prayer? Do you not feel the warmth of His compassion? Because He is your God, your chosen one. I am His child. And I rejoice. I can see these things. He's become my testimony. The Lord is compassionate, slow to anger. His tender mercies are over all His works. Yes, you might go to university, you might get a PhD, you might become a reverend, a BD, Master of Theology. But the youngest person here this morning may have far, far more than that. He may know in his heart, know deep down, Jesus loves me. This I know. Not just for the Bible tells me so, but I know in my heart, Jesus Christ has saved me. And these words then, that we're looking at this morning, become the words from the psalmist, and they were used in the singing in the temple, of course, and the special temple choir. And this Psalm, although we can't see it, is in a very strongly poetic form. Letters of the alphabet come into it. But even if we don't see these parts of it, we can say, I would exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. That's your heritage, and that's my heritage. You with these words, especially by the back. He's a different generation. He's two generations down from me. What can I give him? Give him these verses. Your God is gracious. Your God is compassionate. Your God is slow to anger. Your God is rich in love. Rich. So, we rejoice, one another, this morning at the fact that God's leading us, the kind of God we worship, is the true God for a start, is the only God. But more than that, he's a wonderful, wonderful God. There was a program many years ago on TV, that would be all to remember, that was the week that was. Quite irreverent, very clever. I think David Foster was the amateur. And towards the end of that series, he ran a sort of which magazine style review of religions. And so, for several weeks, the program would focus on a religion, Hindu religion, a brief description of what it was about, what it was like. In the end, when it came to the choice of the best religion looked at in this study, Christianity won. This was an atheist looking at religions, and he said the thing that swung it, Christianity had rewards that totally outweighed all other. Christian reward is heaven, to be with God forever, to have sin forgiven, to live in the light of his countenance. And he had to say, looking at all the religions of the world, Christianity has got the best. And he didn't know the power of God that we do. We have chosen the religion because God chose it. You chose me. Why? I don't know. I don't know why he chose me. You don't know why, but his sovereign will, before the foundation of the world, he chose you in Christ. So I'm singing this morning is Psalm 145. Just read it through. Be special, look at verses 8 and 9 and say, God, I stand in awe of your goodness, your compassion, and your love for me. There's a lovely chorus again in Scripture being out there amongst the hills. My Savior died, pierced by those cruel nails, was crucified. Lord Jesus, thou hast done all this for me. From now on, I will live only